This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Tech Talk. Frida Liu here speaking to Karmjit Singh and A. Asohan from Digital News Asia. It's time to get the lowdown on the tech ecosystem. And we've got to start with the million-dollar story.
Not yet.
Because Karmjit Singh here with his shiny brown new turban, I might add, which is really, really shiny, hurting my eye. Brick red pants and definitely new shoes. Is that where the 1 million has gone?
Wait, what 1 million is this about?
Yes.
How come I don't know anything about this?
No, you just focus on getting the site up, the stories in, and you know, rewritten brilliantly. Okay, don't worry about the nitty gritty stuff. This definitely falls under that.
Do I see a Ferrari parked outside?
No. Do you know that Ferrari offers you customized tires? You have the front tires different color and the back set different color. I find that quite fascinating.
I'm not rich enough to know about these things. Let alone
I spend my time on stuff like this, frivolous stuff.
Tell us about this 1 million that you guys managed to raise.
We should be talking about this last. Okay, we'll make this fast. So basically, we're trying to raise some money to give us more fuel so that we could accelerate our expansion. We've already sent Gabby to Singapore in September, and then she started running, hitting the ground running in October. Mm-hmm. And then this funding thing came in this week, Monday.
So basically, it's to fund her salary because a million ringgit is about 300,000 Sing dollars. Yeah. So yeah.
No, it's about maybe 400,000, 2.5 is about 400,000 Sing, yeah. So that's why Gabby's wearing, you know, she says she's wearing dresses, but you didn't ask what brand. Hermes La, and you know, La Doca, Ditto, some killer,
okay.
You know, boutique.
So this
brand
is expansion plans, okay, expansion.
Yes.
So Singapore.
And then on to another Southeast Asian country. Mm. We shall remain unknown, but I think TechCrunch already wrote about it. As we did, Jakarta. So we're looking to go. So to get serious, we want to be the most credible tech media in Southeast Asia. That's been the vision from day one. Mm-hmm. And you obviously need to be beyond Malaysia. So we've already been covering Singapore from Malaysia to the extent that many PR companies that think we are actually based in Singapore.
Right.
But now we actually have...
You missed one little tidbit. Gabby
has...
We actually had a U.S. multinational whose regional PR agency is based out of Singapore, as most of them are. Mm. And they were actually pitching stories from KL to Gabby in Singapore because they thought that we are a Singapore company.
Wow.
But now we are definitely there. And then hopefully, and what's exciting to me is when she went there, as painful as the financial, budgeting was for that on our own cash flow, I got a thrill to see our business cards printed and you got Malaysia and Singapore there. Mm. And now we can do a bit more with that investment. And then, of course, Jakarta is on the radar also. But the main mission is still to become the most credible. So we got to hire really good people who buy into our vision. And we'll do the Bhangra in three countries then.
Chakadeh,
yeah? Yeah, okay, Bhangra time.
But most important thing is not just about the money. As Karam wrote, it's about... You know, it's smart money in the sense that meeting with the Idea River Run people, they're quite impressive in generating ideas and they know their stuff. So they are also talented people there that we look forward to working with. So
yeah, they will plug a big gap in the DNA makeup now. We have quite a few weaknesses, but you know,
they're too much journalists.
Right.
Yeah, that's been our strength and yet conversely our weaknesses on the commercial side. So
on the commercial side things, sir. Nice turban. How many colors did you get that in?
Can we move on? We've got much, much more important things to talk about.
We move on then. Second story, what's this?
Yeah, world-class talent.
I bought orders.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's the next one after that.
Oh, you can talk about world-class talent if you want.
Yeah, so I think what happened is that we're working on a story. And then, the CEO, Chris, although Aswan scolds me for calling him Chris, his first name is a lot longer than that, lah.
It's a very nice Polish name that I can't pronounce, but you know.
So there's lots of Z's and S and all in there. But we call him Chris Marzalek. I had a first conversation with him over Skype because he's based in Hong Kong on Sunday. And then we were writing the story. And then suddenly last night, I think we got a piece of news, hard evidence about the board asking the company, the management, to reduce monthly operating expenditures it's $215,000 a month.
Right.
So then I quickly emailed the CEO, Chris, in Hong Kong, and I don't know what's the time difference. And I said, hey, look, I've got this new piece of information. Can we talk? And he was nice enough to get on Skype past midnight last night and to give his side of the story about what's going on.
So what's going
on? And then so added that. No, basically, I mean, he says that as a listed company, you always have the responsibility of keeping your costs tight no matter what, even if revenues are going up. And he mentioned that they had the record revenues last month in October. But of course, their next announcement, because you're listed on the Australian Securities Exchange and your announcements are every 6 months. So then in the next announcements, he thinks that they're going to have a very good result. But for now, their share price has obviously been hammered.
Yeah.
And it's quite low. But you read the article, you see how a CEO thinks. So he's just been on board for 2 months. And I think some people have left and there were rumors or we got feedback that people were being pressured to leave, especially in the tech department. And I asked him about that and he said, hey, it doesn't make sense. A tech platform is super critical for us to gain top line revenue. Why would we want to get rid of tech people? And he said, it's absolutely not true. So sometimes you hear things like that and then you check with the CEO or the people in the company and you hear different side of stories. So we wrote about him saying absolutely not, you know, no tech people were pressured to leave. In fact, he wants to hire more coders. So if anyone out there is interested in working for the largest, they claim to be the largest e-commerce site in Southeast Asia.
How big is their presence in Malaysia?
In Malaysia, I don't know, but overall they've got, as of Sunday, to me they were 780 people, very precise. Mm. We wanted to know what was the headcount before because they bought the Southeast Asian assets
Living Social,
which is a daily deal site. Yep. And he wouldn't reveal that, but I guess you can estimate, you know, whatever your imagination is. Like, I don't think they cut by more than 30% because you hear stuff about if you cut your headcount too drastically, too fast, it leaves a lasting impact on people's psyche, even those who stayed back, you know.
Because it's like, what's my future? What's my security and all that? And unfortunately, when you say OPEX cut, it's always people, other things.
Among other things. So, and I think Go did some great research checking out the financials and we did make the point that Go is in Gotenu, who's in Indonesia now, hopefully, you know, getting some good interviews for DNA from there. But he pointed out that their salaries, you know, as a group were much higher than iCar and iProperty.
Okay.
But of course, the caveat is we don't know what's the headcount for those two. So, you know, with this, right now it's 780. Before, because this was their results for the first 6 months of the year, obviously it was much higher. We don't know how much. Even if you assume maybe it's 1,000 people then. So you can count, you know, you can kind of guess how much people are being paid, but much higher than the other two groups. So they've right-sized a bit. He said you keep doing that because you're going to come to a... He said he wants to make the company light while at the same time building a world-class management team. And there were some parts of the interview I didn't put in the article because it's already getting long with this new information. But he's got a chief logistics officer coming in at the end of this month. And he said that person will help them a lot in making sure that their buying is much more streamlined. And the tech platform is also a critical factor in making sure they have economies of scale when they buy, you know, one SKU unit, they get the price for the same price for across the group. So a lot of things coming. I think it'll be an interesting company to watch. They're having tough times now. The share price has been whacked down. But if you think you like what management is doing, then maybe you want to go in and pick it up or, you know, whatever. Interesting. Mm.
Okay.
So I think we're the first ones to get that story out. Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, talking with the CEO. I think some tech blogs have written about it, but we you know, hopefully we did a better job right now.
Well, we tried to present both sides of the story, definitely.
Yeah.
Speaking about what hard measures any company must do, and we've seen them with the big ones from IBM to HP and all that. People are always the first ones to go. But, you know, I also have a slightly different view about, how critical the tech platform is. That doesn't mean that we have seen it with other companies. You know, even though technology is the core of their operations, they will let good programmers go if they can get cheaper ones who just get the job done for a while.
Yeah.
You can have one or two key, real great talents still in there. Because any kind of job involves, there's what, you know, you'd like to think of as very manual, automatic jobs as well, you know. So you'll save the best talents for key, really key technology operations. And a lot of it can be farmed out. It can be outsourced to India, to the Philippines and all that.
I think that's the way companies are probably.
They do think that way. They have to think that way.
It's great that you brought up that point, Aswan, because I counter and I disagree with you and I tell you why. Because Chris himself said that they have decided that they're going to keep tech in-house. Because I asked him, are you going to outsource some portions of tech? He said, no, they find that they can be more nimble and roll out things faster.
In-house tech is always more effective. Hint, hint, Karam. Talking about what we need to do in DNA.
I see.
Yeah, very loud hint. I can hear Gabby there too.
Some says in-house, some says no, I guess.
No, but he obviously says the team is in-house because they can just move much more rapidly. So interesting. And, you know, they've got very complex markets in Southeast Asia. Sometimes you have some customization per market, you know.
Yeah.
But it was quite interesting. And I don't know whether that's the right strategy, but that's how they've gone. So we'll see what it works.
We'll see how it pans out.
Interesting company.
After this, we'll talk about Kylie Ng and his durians. Karamjit Singh.
Naughty,
and
naughty.
That's
not a euphemism for anything.
Digital News
Naughty,
Asia.
Naughty, Frida.
Tech Talk,
I don't
BFM,
like that grin on your face.
89.9.
Business for Malaysia. BFM. 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. A. Asohan, Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. We're going through the tech ecosystem here in Malaysia and Southeast Asia. We're talking about Kylie Ng, right? From Sales.my, and what he looks for when making an investment, right? And he has made 30 so far.
He's from actually 500 startups now. Sales.my was his previous startup.
Previous
so right
life.
Now, it's all about 500 startups.
Okay. And you were the only ones with the full list.
Yeah, he actually, it's kind of nice when you get, it's small stuff, but for us, it's exciting because he shared, he's been talking about having made almost 30 investments. I think it is 30. And for our article, they finally shared the full list of the 30 companies he has invested in. So you can go to the to that article
what
and
sort,
download it.
What
yeah.
sort?
What sort? It's all in the it's very few. I think one or two in the B2B space.
Mm.
I think I saw the list. Maybe 80%, 85% are actually in the B2C space. Mm. Yeah, and because very interesting, he said that one of the value adds for the 500 startups is that they're very strong marketeers, especially digital social marketing. And he said he himself has got digital marketing in his blood. He used that term. So. And of course, Dave McClure, the founder, was with PayPal, and I think he was involved in marketing. Then when he invested in SlideShare as an Indian investor, he also helped them a lot with marketing. So they do that, actually. They help you with that. And it works. They do a lot of these interesting tricks in the online space. Tricks as in, there are things that if you know how to do and it's done proper ethically, you can actually get more attention to and rise above the noise. But Kylie was interesting also because he said all the companies, he said the trick is, so his value add, and he was quite humble to say that his value add is probably 1%. He only comes in once the company has already got money. Then he finds out what their needs are, and almost always these companies have a weakness in marketing and in doing, he calls it growth hacking. So he said you want to spend your time with them at the right time, and the right time is when they raise money.
Because
then you help them plan. And he's got this interesting strategy of how he helps them with their cadence too. And I love that term. I think it's the first time on DNA we've used cadence.
What cadence?
Super cool. You can go check out the article. And but very very important because he's a world-class talent in the startup space. In fact, just this week on Monday, he shared a Instagram picture. He was with Facebook product managers. He was surrounded by 20-25 Facebook product managers. And he's talking to them about trends in the internet space.
Mm.
And no, so you see me next time in SS2, gorging himself on the all-you-can-eat durians. Stop the car, go out and say, Kylie, I've got this idea. What do you think, man? Because he's seen our myths, okay?
But
he walks
it's good. He's only talking to companies who are already making money. So they're not just there, give me money for, in that sense.
Yeah.
They're already making money. And he only comes in from the growth part, the marketing
part. Yeah, the growth part. When,
which is his strength.
He is a very canny investor.
Yeah.
I mean, because he has such this outgoing personality, people kind of underestimate his investment chops there. I know one of the criticisms, especially
you
when they went
past
on...
the hair.
No, the hair is cool. It's great.
When you get past the mop.
No, but one of the... bit of the negative buzz that was going on about the 30 companies people used to ask was how many of them were Malaysians, right? Because he's gone on the platform, he's gone on stage to talk about how Malaysian startups are great and how the Malaysian ecosystem is great. But you will see that only a handful of the 30 startups are Malaysian-based.
Yeah, not even five, I would think,
Which is, for me, you can only take patriotism too far. Mm. You also have responsibility to your stakeholders.
Yeah.
You have to make smart investment decisions. And I think he's doing it both ways. I mean, when it comes down to the hard crunch and actually working for 500 startups, he's making the very professional investment decisions.
Yes.
But he spends a lot of his time with the ecosystem as well.
Yeah.
Meeting people, networking with people, making introductions.
He's on the board of Magic also,
So he's... you know, you can be very strict about your investment decisions and make up for the rest, help this ecosystem with your personal time. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does.
Okay.
So it's cool. And I think that one thing he said, that just one of the things he wants to do is that if you're an entrepreneur, he likes entrepreneurs who are independent thinking. They don't get swayed by different people sharing different ideas with them. And he says that if you have a bias to execution, he wants people who can execute. So he gives this idea thing that sometimes he bounces ideas off people before investing in them, suggests one or two ideas. And he says a week later, the good ones a week later, or he used a week, but maybe, you know, within a short period of time, they come back and they've done not just done that one or two things, they've actually done maybe two or three extra things. And whereas for some other entrepreneurs who are like all talk, you know, and wear shiny turbans, you talk about the same thing and 3 months later, they're just still talking about the same thing. They're so busy strategizing and coming out with this brilliant, you know, master plan for global Southeast Asian domination. So, and those guys won't interest the likes of
Kylie. Okay, the next story is definitely Asohan's story. I know. Shadowy forces and virtual mind games at work. And if you have not been scared before, this will drop your pants. Tell me, Asohan.
We're dropping the pants, but I'm not sure about that. But, you know, actually, if you remember, Frida, we actually spoke about this.
She forgets very fast.
No, I remember this.
Okay, let Frida take over then. 2 minutes, just give a recap.
But I was just going to say that was during Deepavali week when we both each had a colleague gallivanting away in the bracing Scandinavian. Yeah.
Get to the point.
You know,
it was in the Punjabi community.
Bracing Scandinavian weather and enjoying themselves, and we had to take over the show.
I think it was a conspiracy because it was two Punjabis.
Yeah.
Not just one, but two.
Chakade.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, well, this is based on one of the talks I attended at the HITB Hack and Box Security Conference. We spoke about it then. So our story just came out this week, which was late, because there was a lot of material for me to go through as well.
Yeah.
It was by Harun Mia and his Thinkst team from South Africa. And they showed not just how they managed to, I wouldn't use the word hack, but you can actually.
Yeah.
Hack into all sorts of online systems to control narratives.
Yeah.
So it was mailing lists. Comment system like Discus, which even DNA users, CNN users, Al Jazeera, they managed to control conversations. They got people to read the stuff they wanted. Even Reddit, Twitter, they show how
they're being coerced.
This secret army of people who know using sock puppetry, you know, sock puppets are false IDs and online identities that are created by people to do just these kind of things. So they did it, and they showed the forensic evidence. So it's kind of scary because we've all had our suspicions as well. With a
Do
certain
you know where it's coming from? Yeah. Like a particular country?
No. So okay. This one, because it's very easy to hide IP addresses and all that,
it's
right?
Everywhere.
So, and they're very careful as well. As noted, Harun said at one stage, or rather his colleague Marco said at one stage, you know, they managed to find out and identify, you know, a bit of quotation marks there, identify these sock puppets, especially when they had very consistent pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, anti-Obama views and all these kind of things. But he also warned that you don't know, one of the reasons why it was easily done, these guys were easily tracked down, was that you don't know whether they were doing it in such a blatant way, hoping to be identified. So it's like the mind games. If you want this political party or this movement to look stupid, you go in there and pretending to be on the other side, make them look bad.
Thankfully, some of our political parties don't need any help.
They do that quite well, you know. They showed all this evidence they collected. They're coming, Thinkst is coming out with tools that they say will help people detect when their forums are being manipulated this
compromised
way.
Maybe they're the guys. That's why they've got the solution.
Well, you know, they actually did a lot of things. They actually had 30,000 and New York Times accounts.
Can you
registered.
Imagine 30,000?
And they went in there. And they
wow.
Yeah, they apologized. Of course, they said very sorry to their NYT admins, but we did this.
Yeah.
And they
so they can manipulate conversation. I mean, as a startup, who needs a PR company, man? Just hire these black hackers. I don't know if that's the term, right? And
Yeah.
And you know, this dark side to the internet space, you know.
Just and
they
the
can help
armies,
you rise up. Yeah, shadow armies. It's astounding it's,
for
to me.
The, one of the most worrying parts were news sites. Mm. So, you know, news sites, the content, it's not user-generated content.
Yes, professionally
except
created.
For their blogs, right?
Right.
But most of their content is all passed by a team of professional writers and reporters, you know, all the journalists. So you can't determine what stories go out there. Mm. But they showed they could manipulate and show what stories appear on the most popular or most read. And people tend to go there, gravitate towards
right.
those stories, right.
right?
So if you want a story that you don't want to be read, then, you know, you keep, you get other stories,
just use
your sock puppets to click on that so that they go up.
They go up.
And when it comes to user-generated content, you know, ever since blogs first came out, Dan Gilmore, one of those pioneer blogger journalists, used to say that journalism today is about the conversation.
Hmm.
Right, and if you go to all these news sites, they show that, you know, your story may only take up about 30% of the conversation, and the 70% are all the user comments.
Yeah,
and this they hacked the comment system.
They violated that sanctity.
Yes,
the conversation.
They showed how you could actually control the conversation there, and they even had 146,000 likes for a comment that says, "Thanks, son." You know, on a story about Obama. You know, stuff like that.
46,000 likes.
So, yeah.
Thanks.
I mean, I'm also a bit suspicious of the BFM Twitter account. Like. There's just too many positive comments going there, you know. I'm sure it's not about BFM to play these games to mine.
We're not that
mine,
sort.
Okay, mine hack.
Reading list, because we've got 1.5 minutes.
Yeah, well, on our Digirati 50 this week, we're profiling the high-tech success from Klang, which is K.S. Pua, who's the CEO and chairman of Phison Electronics, based in Taiwan. Amazing company. It's an IC design company, okay? And he's an interesting guy, because when I wanted, and I did the interview over Skype coincidentally because he's based in Taiwan, he said that we shouldn't pick him as a Malaysian, because he's not based in Malaysia. He said, you should actually pick a Malaysian building his company from Malaysia. I think that person would be a better choice. But we disagreed, not just because his company is doing super successful, but he shows how if you're a student studying overseas, and then when you graduate and you start working in that country, whatever country it is, if you see opportunity and you've got equally bright, you know, young people with you, you find, go ahead and take that risk, right?
Yes.
To be that entrepreneur and try to fill that niche in the market that you see, or that pain point you want
to
address.
Right. And it's nothing to do about not being patriotic or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just about you seeing this opportunity.
In fact,
Karam,
when we were getting ready to write our stories on Gujarati, Karam told me about this. And I said, actually, he's being unfair to himself, because he actually is involved in this creative development program up in Penang, where he's trying to give back to the ecosystem. Here.
Mm.
You can't even say give back. The ecosystem here never gave him anything.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
He was a success there. But yet he's back in his country doing stuff to help the Malaysian design and IC fabrication ecosystem take off, you know, the E&E ecosystem.
Right.
And he gives talks to universities too. I mean, he's a Klang boy. He comes back every year for Chinese New Year.
Mm.
Of course, he said a lot of time gets taken up by the politicians who want to have FaceTime with him, and he tries to avoid that. But he gives time to universities. He speaks every time at university. So that's amazing.
Okay.
That's so, so important. Now, of course, the other story is just, I think, Edwin wrote about Salesforce.com's wave, what it brings to the analytics market. And this is affordable, very powerful solutions that I think entrepreneurs here can use, not just your tech entrepreneurs, but your restauranteur and whoever not.
Yeah.
And I think we see too few of entrepreneurs using this, you know, very strong technology available.
This Salesforce and IBM's Watson Analytics.
And I think the other thing to read is the 12 scams to watch out for this holiday season. This is from McAfee. So go
for
there.
Shopping, because I think Edwin's right now in the US.
Asohan and Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Chakade.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.